All right, let's turn over to Acts chapter number 21. Wait just a minute before you stand. Just got back from the Philippines. He's talking about orphans and widows. I've got Coulter, you know, a special needs kid, but he's been involved with the special needs ministry there. And the Lord sent in enough to build a 45 by 75 building, and they named it after him, Coulter's Fellowship Hall. And I got to take him over to the Philippines with me, and he got to cut the ribbon and dedicate that building for special needs families and people. We had 250 special needs folk in that meeting, and we know that number because they all registered, and we gave every one of them a Bible, tracts, and then a big bag of different goods and things and big bag of rice and tried to be a blessing to them. And the mayor was there, and he got to recognize Coulter, and God just blessed in that ministry, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And we had a lot of folks saved out of that ministry and in the Philippines, and while Brother Rommel Reeves, who's a Filipino, was in the States with us, he got word that a 45-year-old special needs fella had crossed the road, and a dump truck hit him and killed him. And he told me he was one of the first ones to come in those meetings and get saved. We've been having them now for about 3 years and sponsoring that. And it's such a blessing. Amen. The Lord said, you go into the highways and hedges. You find the lame, the halt, the maimed, and the widow. You bring them in that my house may be full. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that opportunity. Let's stand tonight. We'll reverence God's word together. If that brother would bring me another bottle of water, I sure would appreciate that. You know, you got to prime a windmill. Amen. Get a little priming of the pump here. So, thought my voice is getting better this morning, but a little crackly this evening. So, you pray for us. I want you to look down in verse 16 of Acts chapter number 21. And there went with us certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. Father, I pray you bless the message tonight. Minister to hearts by the grace of God. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus and ask you for your help. We'll thank you for your doings. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I want everybody that is 40 years old and older to stand. 40 years old and older to stand. Brother Lawson, look around. Okay? Now, next week, all right, you can be seated. I hear all that snap, crackle, and pop. It sounded like Rice Krispies. Well, in a few days, you'll have Bible school. You'll emphasize young people. We have a lot of youth meetings. Right now, there are youth camps all over the country. But you know, God has something to say to older folks. And the Bible records for us a man's name by the name of Mason, there in verse number 16, who the scripture describes as an old disciple. An old disciple. Now, old is in the eyes of the beholder. When I was saved at 18 years old and called to preach, I'd go to these meetings and I'd see somebody in their 40s, and I thought those preachers had one foot on a banana peel and the other in a grave. In my eyes, they were old men. I was in a youth meeting some time ago. This young guy got up to preach after me, and he said, it's good to have these old preachers like Brother Andy here. I said, shut up, boy, and preach, amen. I don't feel old because I started young and run so fast, but it catches up with all of us. And the majority of this crowd tonight is 40 years old and older. And God has a word to say to those that are elderly in our churches. Now, Paul was on his journey to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and not be free from therein. And the Bible says in chapter 21 that he went through Caesarea And he stayed in the house of Philip the evangelist. Agabus came down and told Paul, you go to Jerusalem, you are going to be bound. And they began to weep, those four virgin daughters of Philip. Paul, please don't go. Please, we need you, please. He's told you what's going to happen. And Paul said this, he said, why weep ye, break mine heart? For I'm ready to be bound, not only bound, but I'm also ready to die at Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, they ceased. Well, he stayed there for a little while. And the Bible says that in verse 15, they took up their carriages and went to Jerusalem. And on that journey, there were some men that joined with Paul. Paul said, I've got to go. I'm headed to the mouth of the lion. But these men said, hey, we're going to go with you. Now, we don't know who a lot of those men were, but look in verse number 16. It said that we went also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple. God tells us about Mason, an old disciple that went with Paul. And that's what I want to preach on, traveling with an old disciple. Traveling with an old disciple. Now, I think about number one, he was a man who was in fellowship. When Mason said, hey, would you boys mind if I go with you? They didn't say, no way, man, you're not in fellowship. You have nothing to do with this. They were honored that he would go with them. And here is Mason, an older disciple, that said, I know who Paul is. A lot of folk in that community didn't know who Paul was, didn't know about his ministry, and didn't care about it. But this guy had prayed for Paul. He had pulled for him. He had asked the Lord to help him. And he was in fellowship with Paul and with God's people. Thank God for older folk that are in fellowship with God's church and God's people. There's a lot of older folk sitting around out here tonight. They don't know what's going on here. They don't care what's going on here. Why? The only fellowship they have is with the shuffleboard society, or maybe the knitting society, or the grumbling crowd. Amen. But thank God for older folk that come to the house of God and say, this is my crowd. This is my people. I belong here. I am part of the church of the firstborn of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he went with them. He was part of the band of the brethren. Thank God for people that are marked and they say, this is my crowd, this is my people, this is my church, and I'm going to continue to go with God even to old age. Number two, he was a follower. Look what it says about him. There was a disciple named Mason, an old disciple. Now, the Lord doesn't just call anybody a disciple. Matter of fact, the Gospels have a lot to say about who a disciple is. Brother John says in chapter number 8 and verse number 31, he said, Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. Just because a man comes and makes profession and goes back, never lives for God, he's not called a disciple. But those that come to the Lord, get saved by the grace of God, and then continue on in the faith. The Lord said, if you continue on, it's an evidence that you are my disciple. Thank God for folk that started and never have quit. I was in church with a 93-year-old woman last week. And she got saved as a preteen. And she served God all the way through. I said, hallelujah for people that get in and go with God all of their lives. It's one thing to start, it's another thing to finish. And then John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples because ye love one another. A disciple loves other children of God. They care about the church, they care about the preacher, they care about other believers. They have a love in their heart. And the Lord said, that's an evidence of being my disciple. There's a lot of folk
They don't have any use for the church. They don't have any use for the preacher. Don't tell me you're a disciple when you don't love what God loves. Jesus loved the church, gave himself for it, and I love what Jesus loves. And then John 15:8 said, "Herein's my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple." The Lord said disciples are going to be fruit bearers. There's going to be some evidence in their life that they know God and that they serve God. Brother Luke has a few strong words to say about being a disciple. He said in chapter 14, 26, "If a man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren and his sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I was explaining this to my grandson this past week. He said, "I don't understand that." I said, "Well, here's what the Lord's saying, that your love for your family, your friends, and your fellowship has to be hate compared to your love for the Lord. You don't put anybody or anything above the Lord." And he said, "If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to have a heart for me beyond it all." Abraham illustrates that. He took his only begotten son and he laid him on the altar. He loved Isaac more than he loved anybody except for God. And when God called on him, he said, "He's yours, Lord." And God said, "Now I know, Abraham, that you've not withheld your son, your only son Isaac, from me." And he knew that Abraham's faith was real. We've got a lot of folk that are called disciples, but they got everything in the world ahead of God. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Is the Lord second? Is he third? Is he at the bottom of the list? Or is he at the top of everything in your life? Thank God for older folk, old disciples that say, "Hey, Jesus is still my all in all." And then Matthew speaks of the position or the place of the disciple. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, the disciple is one that bows his knee, and Jesus is king in his life. The Bible says, "Manson, an old disciple." And then number two, not only was he in fellowship and a follower, but number three, he was a frail man, a frail man. Look what it says. It says, and we brought with them one mason. Now that word "brought with them" tells me that Mason said, "Boys, I sure would like to take that journey to Jerusalem. But you know I can't get up and out of that carriage by myself. I'm going to need a little bit of help." And they said, "Glad to help you. You come on and we'll help you. We'll help you in and out of the carriage. We'll help you. We'll be there to prop you up on the leaning side." Well, I'm glad, praise God, there are those that the Lord sends to help the elderly that want to go on with God. Manson didn't say, "Well, I don't want to be a problem to anybody. I don't want anybody to have to help." He wasn't a proud man. He said, "Boys, if you'll help me, I'll go." And you know what? They said, "We'll be glad to help you." That tells me two things. Number one, his willingness to come on, even when he couldn't come on and he needed help to come on. Amen. Some time ago, I ripped my meniscus in my left knee in three places to the root. And boy, it was an awful time. Then I was preaching a meeting. I didn't go that night. But the next night, I got a wheelchair, and I preached out of a wheelchair. And when I preached out of that wheelchair, I looked back through there, and I saw those walkers and the wheelchairs, and I took note of folk that had canes, and it gave me a brand new compassion for those people. And it gave me a new respect for what it takes for them to get ready and come on to the house of God, and for their determination to, hey, say, "Hey, granddaughter, grandson, a friend, if you'll come by, I'll go." And you know what'll happen? There'll be somebody that'll say, "Yes, I'll be there to help you. You helped me along the way when I was a little child, and I'll be glad to help you. And thank God for those that are there with the elderly. You'll have a special reward and you'll have a special blessing. And I think about the elderly. They may be feeble on the outside, but my, what a treasure they have on the inside. The Bible talks about that wisdom that's under that gray hair, that wisdom of experience. And by the way, young people, when you're going through something and you come to the crossroads of life, you'd do well to talk to the elderly. They've been there, they've done that, they've shot the possum, they've held the sack, and they've cooked it with sweet taters. Amen. Well, they just don't know. Listen, they're having your problems 4 years ever in Pampers. I always pray, God, if you can help me to learn something by somebody else's experience, I sure would appreciate it. I don't want to be one that has to learn everything by the school of hard knocks. And if you listen and you follow and you're with elderly folk, they will give you tidbits of advice and they'll encourage you along the way. Boy, I thank God for those that come on. They're strong in their soul, maybe not in their body. They're like an old racehorse, maybe that's out to pasture. He wants to run one more time, but he just don't quite have the physical capability. And I think about this. I have run so far and so long, and now I'm 66 years old. And this year I'm trying to preach through the 66 books of the Bible in 66 years. And I told my son, what if we take a trip on Route 66 and I preach in every book of the Bible, in all of the, amen, all of the stops. And I thought that'd be a great thing. But I look back over it and I say, my, there may be a time when somebody has to help me along the way. As long as I'm physical, I'm able, I'm going to go. And then when I'm not able, my grandson's about to get his driver's license. I'm going to put him behind the wheel. I'm going to give him some experience. Amen. Boy, I thank God, young lady, for you helping your grandma and your grandpa. Thank God for you, young man, that goes by and gets grandma. And God will give you a special reward. And don't ever disdain, don't ever look down on the elderly. They are the treasures of this church. Amen. But then not only was he frail, but he was friendly. Look what he says. Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. Now, evidently, he was a man of means because he lived in Cyprus, so he had a house there. But he also had a place up in Jerusalem. And every year, three times, the Jews had to travel to Jerusalem to be on all those feasts. And evidently, he had accumulated a few things, and he had a house up there. And he said, Paul, would you mind if I go with you? No, we'll be glad to. Paul didn't have to worry about feeding him or even where he would put him up or anything like that. Matter of fact, old Mason said, now when you get there, you forget the Holiday Inn. You can stay at my house, you and all your team. And he had given what he had to the work of God. He wasn't a covetous man. He wasn't a selfish man, but he was a man that said, God, what is mine is yours. Boy, I thank God for elderly folk that realize the only investment they've got they're going to take with them is what they invest on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, many times, I've been to churches for the first time in my life, not even know hardly the pastor. He's heard me somewhere along the way, get up and preach and have an elderly person come up to me and say, preacher, where are you eating at today? And I said, well, I don't know. The preacher said he's busy. He's got a wedding or something to do. We want you to come home and eat with us. And before the day's over, he's already invited me to come and stay in his home. My home's yours. He don't know me from Adam's house cat, but he knows the Holy Ghost. And there's a witness born in his soul. And he says, I want to be a part of that. And I want to be acquainted with the workers of God. And what I've got, I want it to be invested in the kingdom of God. And so we see that he was a man that was friendly. And then he was a man that was fearless. A man that was fearless. He knew Paul was a wanted criminal. He knew they were after him. He knew what Agabus said, you go there, you're not going to be free again. But he wasn't afraid. He said, oh, I'm going to go with God. It doesn't matter. If they hate him, they hate me. I'm not going to allow them to stop me or hinder me. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith. And you know, the devil will plague a lot of our elderly people with fear. Oh, my, my, my. The Democrats have run on this platform for years. You vote in a Republican, they're going to take your Social Security away. You're going to starve and be begging on the street. And you know, usually it's the opposite of what they say that's really the truth. But I want you to know something. God was around before Social Security. God will take care of you. And you don't need to be fearful. The preacher here a while back told me that he buried a man and said he went to visit him before he died. And he told him, he said, preacher, I got an apology. He said, COVID hit and we quit coming to church. And we started watching it on the internet. And then after the plague was over, we just kept sitting here and we didn't come back. He said, that was one of my greatest mistakes in my life. And I regret that. We use that as an excuse not to come on over to the house of God because we was afraid we'd shake somebody's hands or we'd get a cold or we'd get sick. I'm not going to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear and in worry. And the devil will haunt you and he'll give you 1,000 scarecrows to keep you out of the blessed patch of the good grace of God. Don't you let the devil fill you with fear. You march on and walk on with faith. And you say, I can go with God even in my older days. God who was with me as I was young will be with me when I am old. John G. Patton, missionary to the Hebrid Islands, been there among the cannibals many years, lost his companions to the cannibals. They killed him and ate him. His wife died. He had to lay on her grave 7 days to keep them from digging her up and eating her. They threatened his life many times. Well, he made a trip back to England. And while he was in England, one of his old professors met Brother Patton and said, John G. Patton, you keep ministering to those cannibals and it will be read of you, John G. Patton died and eaten of cannibals. Patton said to him, well, sir, I'm not being disrespectful, but you're getting old now, and it will be read and written one day that you were eating of worms, and I'd a whole lot rather be eating of cannibals than worms. How are you going to keep a man down like that? Polycarp, they put him there to the stake. They were going to burn him. God put the fire out and finally they killed him with the sword and all that. But they said, just recant, just recant. He said, 86 years as I've served my Lord. He's never wronged me and I shall never deny his name. An elderly man, not afraid. And the truth is we're all going to die. And when those martyrs would be out in the lion's den and they would stand there and they would glorify the Lord and they would be run through with a sword or eaten with a lion or whatever. People in the Roman Colosseums would get up and say, my, I've never seen such courage in all my life. We've all got to die. But look how they died. If I can die like that, I want to be a Christian too. And the fires of revival burned through the kingdom till Constantine. In 330 said, hey, we're going to have to do something. If you can't beat them, join them. And he started the Roman church there. But it was because of the fearlessness of God's people. Manson was an old disciple that was not afraid. But then I want to say also, Manson was faithful. It says he was an old disciple. How do you become an old disciple? You become an old disciple by starting out as a young disciple. Some people say, well, one day I'll serve God. On out there, I'll serve God. You better start now because you may not have opportunity to serve God. But if you want to wind up being an old disciple, you need to start out as a young disciple, and then a middle-aged disciple. And this is so funny. My friend Brother Bob Sawyer over in Kentucky, him and his wife were talking, and Brother Bob told his wife, "You know, Peggy, God's so good to us in our middle-aged years." She said, "Bob, when has 65 become middle age?" Oh, but here we with you. Brother Ray Aiken wrote a song entitled, "He's the God of All Ages." And in that song, he preaches or sings about how God will be with the young people. And he'll be your God as young people and children. And then he'll be your God in middle age when you're raising your family and got all those burdens. But said he'll be your God in your old age too, because he's the God of all ages. I heard Vance Havner say, you know, we act like they just invented young people. But he said God's had old people around for a long time and they need encouraging too. Amen. But then I want to say that Manson was a faithful man. Faithfulness, my, what a strength faithfulness is. John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress, he writes of one character that he calls Old Faithful. I've got one of the old illustrated Pilgrim's Progress, and it shows this old gentleman, man, he's got gray hair and a beard, and he's got his sword there, and he's got this glaring look, and it's the kind of guy you wouldn't want to mess with. And Bunyan calls him Old Faithful. Thank God for folk that are not shook up. They're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. They don't run when the storm hits. They don't cow down when the devil attacks, but they stay faithful to God. John Coulter led Lewis and Clark to the Pacific Ocean. He was their guide. They got the glory, but John Coulter did the work. He was their point man. When he came back to the Rocky Mountains, he told Lewis and Clark, said, "I have no desire to go back to civilization. I want to stay here and be a mountain man and a trapper." They gave him an honorable discharge. Lewis and Clark went on back to Washington, gave the report. John Coulter stayed there. That winter, he made a track of over 100 miles down into the south, into what we call Yellowstone. He came back and he told those fellows what he saw. Now, the mountain men at the rendezvous had entertainment, and it was called the best liar. And they would try to tell the biggest whopper, and they would all laugh about it. Well, John Coulter came back, and he said, "Boys, I have found where hell is erupting on the face of the earth." He said, "There is a creek. It looks like a boiling frying pan with grease in it." He said, "There is a river of flowing tar." He said, "Brimstone, sulfur, you can smell it." And said, "There are eruptions down there where water comes up out of the heart of the earth and it blows to the sky." And he said, "There's a mountain over there. I slept by it. And at night you can hear the souls in hell crying out. Those thermal drafts in that mountain. Woo! Woo!" Said, "You can hear them." They said, "Man, that's the biggest whopper we've ever heard." Well, they went down there and found he's telling the truth. Well, Teddy Roosevelt, he named that thing Yellowstone to sanitize the name of it. But Hell Roaring Creek, still roaring. Hell Roaring Mountain, still roaring. And it's still there. But now down in that Yellowstone Basin, there are over 500 geysers. Can you name one of those geysers? Huh? Can anybody name another one of those geysers? You know the one that's in the center of the park where the Old Faithful Inn is at? Visitors come from all over the world, and any day you'll see them standing around. And by the way, she's swelling up. When I first went, you sort of looked down from that platform, and now it's almost equal because that ground is swelling up. And they say it's the biggest hot spot volcano in the world. And if it blows, it'll take out from Canada to Mexico, from the Mississippi to California. God don't need nuclear bombs. No, he don't. But people come from all over because they want to see this geyser erupt. and they'll stand there and wait, and they know from its past history that it'll be erupting in just a little while. At least 17 times a day, old Faithful will go off. She'll shoot her liquid up into the air, 244 degrees hot. She'll spew out over 8,000 gallons of water. And it is a spectacular thing to see the pressure build up and then see it rise and blow. And you'll hear people shout and clap their hands. You know what draws them to that one geyser above all the rest is faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Lord wants you to be an old faithful. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're not going to be judged on successful. You're going to be judged on faithful. Thank God for older folk that remain faithful to God. Preacher, you know as well as I do, when you stand here on Sunday night and you look back through there and certain people are not here, you don't even pay it any attention. But if you look and you see certain faces, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'll call after service. Somebody's died. Something bad's happened. And there's a, because they are going to be there because they are faithful. Wishy-washy, hot and cold, up and down, Easter time, Christmas time, backyard barbecue time, churchanity will not get the job done. It's being faithful to God. And some of you say, well, you know, there's not much I can do. I just come and sit and go home. And you know, one Sunday school teacher said, even a hen has to sit on her eggs to hatch out little dibs. Amen. My granny Bishop was 96 years old when he buried her. My Uncle Clarence Bishop, older than I, he said some things about her I didn't know. He said, I saw faith in Granny Bishop, in the Bishop clan, before I saw faith in anybody else in our family. They said she prayed a sin one at a time, and now there's a good Christian heritage there. But Granny was one of the first ones, but she continued faithful. And if you went over to her house, she'd have her Bible open or one right there on her step. You didn't have to worry about whether she's going to be backslid on God or she's going to go with God. She just remained faithful. And out from under her apron, guess what? God raised up a crew that wants to serve God. Be thou faithful. God said, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. So you fill your place. You do what God wants you to do. And be faithful. And like Manson, you'll be called an old disciple. Now, there's some things about an old disciple. An old disciple knows who has preserved them. You ask the elderly folk, how are you so old? My wife asked a lady one time, she was 98 years old, missionary Art Somerville's wife while we were in Paris. And she said, what's your secret to aging? She said, well, I don't know, but said, I do drink a Coca-Cola every day. I thought, boy, that'll preserve you, amen. But an elderly person will tell you what old Caleb told Joshua when he came to his inheritance. He said this, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He knew who God kept him alive all of his generation. All Joshua's generation, that 40, they died off. They're the only two that lived. And the reason they lived is God preserved them. Right. You may get old and gray-headed, and it's because God has given you that length of life. Not everybody gets to go. And being old is not for cowards. Somebody said, boy, I'm getting old, my back and all this. I said, well, the song, you know, older the violin, the rustier the strings. So just keep on squeaking. Amen. Keep on serving God, doing what God wants you to do. Don't you quit. Don't you back up. Don't you back off. It's God that gave you that life. God's give you these days. God's give you this elderly time so you can be an influence to another generation. The psalmist said in Psalms 37:25, He said, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He said, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've observed some things. I've observed those that go with God. God has provided and give them life, and then God has given them everything they've needed along the journey. I want to ask you something. Have you been on starvation? Have you had to go naked? Have you had shelter over your head? I think we'd all have to say God's been good to us. I think we'd have to say, yes, the Lord's provided us. And if he did that in your young age, don't think he's going to forsake you in your old age. Then I think about how God had a plan for this man, Manson, one more time, one more mission, one more hour, one more journey. I don't know how many more journeys God's got for you, but you take advantage of that. You be a partaker of what God wants you to do. And I can tell you a lot of stories about people that were older when they really got started. Oh my, I know of authors that didn't start writing till they were in their 60s. And now they're renowned and their books are renowned. You've got a lot of good years left in your life. So don't let the devil cow you down. Devil tell you, yeah, here you are, your old back stooped. You tell the devil, well, God's making it easy for me to bow down. Oh, God don't love you no more. Your hair's getting gray. You say, that's all right. He wants to mingle it with my golden crown. God don't love you anymore. You got them old tricycles on your nose or bifocals or whatever they are. You say, well, I'm looking to a land that's fairer than day. And it won't be long till I'll be over on the other side. So don't let the devil get you down. You just keep going on to the glory of God. The Bible says there's a possibility for revival for elderly folk. Psalms 103:5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The old eagle's like your chickens. Your chickens will go through a molting stage. They're old feathers and they'll get where they don't lay eggs and you think, man, they're ready for dumplings. But if you give them a little time and they'll renew. And they'll go through the molting stage. The old eagle's like that. And he goes back to the rock where he was born. He knocks that cow's head, pops it off his beak. His old claws, they fall off. His feathers, they fall out. He looks pitiful. But he just waits there. And other eagles know what he's going through. And they'll fly by and they'll drop him morsels of meat. And that little old eagle will eat that. And he'll wait. And he'll wait on the Lord. And he'll grow his feathers back and his claws and his eyesight comes again and his old beak can grow. And after a while, he spreads those wings and he catches that wind. He flies up and you think he's a young eagle the way he's flying. Though he be an old eagle, his strength is renewed. Amen. Amen. I like what Caleb said. He said, I'm as strong this day as when I went into the Canaan land. I don't think he was physically, but I think he knew something about a strength that was stronger than the physical. Because him and Joshua came back, no 10 spies said, can't have it, giants there, they'll kill us, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb come back and said, it's our land, we can take it. How? We got a God. The grasshoppers are giants or grasshoppers. God's give us the land, it's our land. They weren't depending on their strength. They were depending on God's strength. Just because maybe we don't have the physical strength doesn't mean you have to be weak spiritually. My granny Bishop, I asked her one time, how many times you read the Bible through? She said, oh, I quit counting at 100 a long time ago. I said, well, out of all them trips through the Bible, what's some of your favorite scripture? She looked at me, wouldn't weigh 90 pounds, soaking wet. She balled that little old frail fist up and she said, I'd have to say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. Hey, there's battles in won and lost in that prayer closet. And you can still fight a good fight. And even when you feel like you're pinned down, like David was in his old age by that giant, you just cry And the Lord said he's able to succor them that call on him. Oh, Abishai came behind that giant that's fixing to kill him and cut his head. I'll give him a sucker punch. Amen. And your strength will be in your spiritual Abishai, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will fight for you. Hallelujah for old disciples. Age well to the glory of God. Let's stand. Pastor.